Great. Well, what I want to speak on tonight is the whole issue of speaking life to one another. Amen. In the situation we're in, it's going to be ever so important what comes out of our mouth. And what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And so this is a time when God is doing a reset on the church, like the computer, you know. If it goes wrong, you turn it off and it gets all right again. This is reset time for the church because he wants the church to change, to break out from what it has been into what he has planned for it. And the same is the issue in your own personal lives. He is on reset with you. He wants you to understand that these are very positive times for the church and for you. This is a fantastic opportunity for the church to change and for individuals in the church to stop being spectators and become participators. Amen? Because we don't want to trundle along like we've always done. You know, ruled by circumstances, ruled by what happens around us. We're either up or down. This is a time to get closer into God and just see how much he loves you and how much he wants to use you. And see the positive in that. And I think what comes out of our mouth in these next few months could affect many, many lives. Because we either speak life or we speak unbelief and death. And that's the choice we've got, I believe. My favorite verse at the moment is 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. It talks about the sons of Issachar. These are some guys who went to join David when he was escaping from Saul. And it says of them, these were men who understood the times. Do you understand what God is trying to do through COVID? Or do you just say, well, this is from the enemy. You know, we just got to put up with it. There's no hope. We just trundle on until something happens. No. God is at work. Amen? He's at work in the world, he's in work in the church, and he's in work at you. And we really need to understand these are special times. We've got an opportunity because more time is available to us than perhaps we've had before. We've got an opportunity to spend time with God. To spend time phoning, encouraging, blessing those around us, serving those around us. What an opportunity. Understand the times. But then it says, they understood the times with knowledge of what they should do. And they came to David knowing they were to join his army and be part of the army that defeated Saul and brought in the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that it's all very well knowing what God is doing, but he's got something for you to do. Something that's specific for you. Something that relates to warfare and the situation you're in. Something that will change something. Probably you, first of all. And so we focus tonight on the power of positive speech. I want us to rediscover the important thing is not what we do when we meet in this building. The important thing that God wants to change in the church is to wake us up to the fact that it's not what happens in here every Sunday that matters. It's whether, as the people of God, you carry His grace into the community in your everyday lives. That's what matters to Him. Amen? So we're not Sunday-only Christians. Our whole lives are motivated and changed by the glory of God. That's what He's after. So please wake up. Because I believe when the church wakes up, this thing will finish. It will end. Because God is wanting drastic change. We have a powerful tool of grace in positive speech. Now we can say, well, that's not my role. You know, Ephesians 4:11 gives us all the ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, and then there's elders and deacons. It's them. They're the ones who are the important ones. They're the ones who go and do it. Wrong. The whole verse tells us that they're only there to equip you for the work of service. And Dave and I have failed if whatever we do doesn't equip you. If our life's work is just to see you sat there on a Sunday, we failed. Because we haven't equipped you to be the people of God in the community, to see lives changed and transformed, to bring the gospel and power of God into Romsey. That's our role. And let me let you into a little secret. We need to change our mindset that these are not the people only who minister. What you do in your everyday lives is ministry in God's eyes. Amen? So you're ministers of the gospel. What comes out of your mouth is the opportunity to minister faith and encouragement and blessing. And what you do with your time in your hands is meant for that positive expression of the grace of God to go and change the community. Hallelujah. If you leave it to Dave and me, nothing will happen. I'll let you into a secret. Dave and I have very little credibility in the community. What do I mean by that? I mean by that is if I get into a conversation in the community and the question comes up, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a preacher, or Dave says, I'm a minister. Most people are then looking for the quickest way out of that conversation. We've lost our credibility. You don't have that problem. You're ordinary people filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got far more credibility than we have. So please use it. Amen? Because it's down to you. Genesis 1:3 says, then God said, words create worlds. Say that again. Words create worlds. We need to see that's why the words that we communicate are so important. And we know from James 3, 1 to 12, that no man can tame the tongue. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, and we have made, who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and curse. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's tremendous creative power in what comes out of your mouth. And I believe this is a crucial time for us as individuals and us as a church to examine what comes out of our mouth. And to begin to see that God wants to cleanse and anoint our communication. It's so important in this day and age. Because all you hear all day long now, especially if you have the radio on or watch every bulletin of news or are on social media, is negative, 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 negative. Amen? No wonder people are getting depressed. See, what goes into your heart affects you. What you believe affects you. And my advice to you, quite honestly, is turn it off. Put a music tape on. Put a worship tape on. Put some scripture on. Anything but the BBC News. That's a wise piece of advice. Okay? Because you don't get truth from that. See, it's not what the experts are saying about COVID that matters. It's what God is saying about COVID that matters. It's what God is saying to you in this situation that matters. And so we need to break this negative heaviness that's coming upon our nation. And only the people of God can do that. Because we're special. And God's for us as we reach out and do that. See, words spoken to you and over you have the power to create the framework and direction of your life. Those of you who have had unhappy upbringings will know this to be true. If you've been in a negative environment and people have been speaking negative, 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 it shapes your whole direction and the framework of your life. We've got to break out of that. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. God loves us. It's what He says about you that really matters. Find out what God has said about you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know I have words concerning you, words of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. We can give people future and hope by the way we handle this epidemic, by the way we speak about it, by the way that we conduct ourselves. We don't join in with their moaning and their depression. But we break out of that and say, hey, I know someone who's going to change this. There is a God in heaven who loves you. He's for you. Praise God. And so John 17:15 tells us that Jesus only prayed one negative prayer. Everything that came out of Jesus' mouth was positive. It was creative. He only prayed one negative prayer. And it was this: I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. That's the only negative prayer he ever prayed. I pray that you won't take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. Why did he pray that? Because we are the light of the world. We are the people who can change what others think. We are the people that can bring a new perspective on everything just by how we speak and what we do. Hallelujah. We need to get hold of this, especially in the time in which we live, especially this week, when so many people are losing hope and are in despair. We've got a good message to bring. We've got hope to give them. We've got assurance and faith to bring them. Think what you're communicated in words and deeds. Is it faith or is it negativity? I love this verse, Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring tidings of good things. That's a quote from Isaiah 52:7, where it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And then it lists some very important things that we need to be doing right now. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your going, your moving, your feet, because he wants you to bring good news. Hallelujah. Don't sit at home and mope. Phone somebody up. Write somebody a letter. And when you can go out, go and see somebody. Have a coffee. And start bringing that good news of glad tidings. It says, who brings good news, who proclaims peace. What do we need right now after that announcement last night? It's peace. Who's going to bring it? Those who've got feet to go. Blessed are those who have the feet, who brings tidings of good things. People are longing to hear good things. All they're getting on the news is bad things. Testimony is so powerful in this time. Tell them how God has blessed you. Tell them how God has strengthened you. Tell them how God has got you through what you're going through right now. Who proclaims salvation? In other words, who proclaims the good news of the gospel, that there is a hope, that there is an eternity, that this is not the end, that God has a plan for your life. And if you are alive today, you still haven't fulfilled it. So let's get those things out there. And finally, who says in Zion, your God reigns. I tell you, everyone needs to hear that. We worship a God who reigns. He is sovereign over all of this nonsense. Yes, he is working in it. He is accomplishing things in it. But at the end of the day, he is in control. Hallelujah. And he wants to cooperate with us, especially with what comes out of our mouth. See, in Bible times, the media of the day were runners, people who actually ran for miles and days to bring a piece of news to another part of the country. That's where they get this blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. It was a runner who brought to David the news of Saul's death. He brought him the good news that he was now able to take up his calling of the kingdom. And that's how the culture of washing feet came into biblical times, because they spent all the time walking. Their feet got dirty. And if you were running with news, they got even dirtier. And so that whole thing stems from that. And then there's another favorite bit of Isaiah that I love. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 7. He says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." Amen. Do you remember that story? Isaiah has a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. And there were cherubim and seraphim around the throne. And Isaiah is challenged. He says, "I am a man of unclean lips." Wonder why it didn't say unclean hands or unclean feet or unclean thoughts. Why did it say unclean lips? Because I believe it was referring to the fact that what comes out of your mouth can change things. This was a time of turmoil for Israel. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was being prepared to bring the good news of the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And so God had to change the way he spoke. And so he zaps him with a coal and changes what comes out of his mouth forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we need to see that we mustn't get drawn into the negativism of what's happening now. But let's ask God to make us people who speak life. Amen? Speak life. Speak life. L-I-F-E. Is that how you spell it? Let me give you just four things. L. I believe we, in this day and age, need to remove all lying that comes out of our mouths. A lot of what you hear on the news is false news. It's down blatant lies. And this has affected all of us. You know, when I was a kid, my sister got on my nerves, so I blamed her for something that I did. And I tell you what, she got punished. I didn't. And the first thing that came into my mouth was, it worked. And so that put a pattern in me. Oh, I can get away with this. Just a little lie here and a little lie there. And before you know it, it's part of your DNA. And the more lies you tell, the more lies you have to tell to cover up the ones you've already told. Amen? And don't tell me it doesn't happen in the church. It does. Because lying means exaggeration as well. I've got to be very careful when I give testimony of what's happened when I've seen God move, that I don't exaggerate. Because it's a lie. I may think it's a good lie because I'm building up God. But God hates it. We need to realize there's a spirit behind lying. In John 8:44, it talks about the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand for truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Every time you tell a lie, you partner with the father of lies. So let's just have a little think about what comes out of our mouth. And let's put that one to rest. It's an important thing to get rid of that. You need to partner with God, not with the devil. Second letter is I, integrity. It means soundness, consistency, wholeness. Are you the same person at home as you are in church? That's integrity. When people meet you on the street, do they meet the same person as we meet on a Sunday? Because if you're going to speak life and encouragement and faith, you've got to be consistent. It's no good speaking out there and then moaning and grumbling at the wife when you get home. Doesn't add up. So be integral. Make sure you're the same person wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in. Third letter is F, falsehood. Gossip. This is a big one, particularly in church. Find out what is true before you say it or share it. You see, it's so important because unity in the body of Christ is the key to revival. Jesus told us this. He said, "How will the world know that you're my disciples? That I raised the dead? That I fed 5,000? That I healed the blind man?" No. None of that. They will know when they see that you love one another. Wow. That's a challenge, isn't it? And so we've got to keep the unity in the body of Christ. I can imagine when Jesus prayed who he should choose for his disciples, he would have had a few problems. He probably looked at the list that God had given him and said, "Oh, could I swap that one? Could I kind of drop that one and bring someone else in?" But no, he had the right men. Can you imagine, just use a bit of imagination, can you imagine how Simon the Zealot got on with Matthew, the tax gatherer, when they were in the same connect group together. That's the power of God, isn't it? Unity. Totally different people, but they got on and God used them. And so we've got to see church in a different way. We've got to see unity is key. And falsehood is key. And stop any gossip that we see or hear. Proverbs 6:19 says that there are six things that God hates. One is a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. And let's finish on an encouraging one, okay? E, for encouragement. Ephesians 4:29. Let not any corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for edification and building up. That's a good one, isn't it? When you speak, speak life. Speak encouragement. Speak the truth. Don't exaggerate, but speak life. And that will build someone up and release someone. See, negative thinking creates negative worlds around you. Positive thinking and speaking will lift you up, build you up, and make you into the person God wants you to be. Amen? So get around positive people. If you've got any negative friends, ask them to change or change friends, because they won't be doing you any good. Last verse to give you. Jeremiah 15:19 talks of being a spokesman. In the message, it says this: if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. What a powerful verse. God is saying there that your mouth can be my mouth. If you speak what I give you to speak, in the heart that I give it to speak, your mouth is my mouth. Well, there's power in what we say and what we speak. And so I hope that's helped tonight. I think particularly at this time, we need to be very careful what comes out of our mouth. Amen? And we need to be consistent in the way we live. Lying, falsehood has to go. Encouragement has to come. Reality has to hit us. And so let's be aware of that.